Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com. A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hello everyone, welcome to Red Men TV. It's the instant match reaction after Liverpool drew 1-1 with Leicester City. I am joined by Will from LFC Focus. Will, look, the word of the night is the word disappointment.
Yeah, it's just, it's a very odd vibe because, as I've been saying to so many people, it's just, no one can really be angry because we're 5 points clear at the top league. You can't be throwing a wobbly. No one's going to be doing sort of Arsenal fan TV style rants outside the stadium after that. But it's just, obviously, we haven't won the game. Yeah. And we didn't win the game in pretty poor circumstances as well. I think that's what's grating people the most, is not just the result, but the fact that we were just so flat pretty much all the way through the game, aside from the first couple of minutes.
It was a tricky one because we stormed into that game. We got the early goal and you think, great. And the way I saw this game going was it was either going to be a hard-fought battle, but I thought if we get a couple of early goals, if we go 2-0 up in the first half, this could be a 4-0, you know, and a real statement victory. But you're right, apart from that an early flurry, we actually look more likely to shoot ourselves in the foot at the other end.
Well, I think the problem was we almost did shoot ourselves in the foot with the way we played and the kind of the intensity, but the lack of organisation that came with it. It's something that Chris was talking about with the Palace game as well. Mm-hmm. And I think it was definitely a problem today, was players kind of sometimes just flying into tackles they didn't need to fly into, or over-pressing to the point where they were leaving far too many gaps. And especially when you've got a couple players playing out of position like Jordan Henderson at right back, sometimes you've got to just do the basics, and Liverpool let themselves down with that tonight.
It was interesting because the selection-wise, it was mad. When we saw the team had come out, the big question was who was going to play right back, and we'll talk about Henderson in a minute. But it looked like, I don't know, I'd like to watch it back to really obviously get a clearer view of this in terms of the formation, but it looked like we went back 4-3-3, and there was a lot of emphasis placed on Gini Wijnaldum again to hold the midfield together. I think he had moments, certainly, and I'm sure the big moment, the big talking point, and one I can't wait to watch back, is the penalty decision. I don't think Keita took that opportunity to really show what he can do in that game. And I thought it was probably one of Shaqiri's worst performances in a Liverpool shirt.
Yeah, I think there were too many poor performances out of the game. And I think if you're going to take one positive out of it, it's the fact that the problem was to do with performance and not to do with tactics. So it's not that Liverpool are incapable of breaking down a team like that, even though Leicester was set up really, really well defensively. We know we can break down low blocks. It's just a matter of the fact that a lot of players didn't really shine tonight. And Keita is obviously a very interesting one because he's playing in what is close to his preferred position, which he hasn't been doing for the last few games. Obviously, normally he's playing in like a 4-4-2 or a 4-3-3, not being in a kind of slightly more withdrawn midfield double pivot that we're sometimes playing, because at times it was a 4-2-3-1 tonight. And that was kind of the whole thing about players flying into tackles. At times he just abandoned his position, and if he had been in a midfield three, that would have been fine. But because he was in a two at times, it didn't really work out. But there were times he flew forward, and like you said, there were some good moments. It feels like he needs that one moment, and it might have been that moment where he was in the box and you're thinking, come on, get the goal.
It's weird, I always talk about sliding doors moments for footballers and football matches, and him breaking into the box, I've seen it happen time and time again where it can ignite a player's career, and just not quite having that moment can be something that maybe knocks them back a little bit. Now, let's use Shaqiri as an example. As he misses that gilt-edged chance against Chelsea at Stamford Bridge to make himself a hero, but then he picks himself up in the next couple of weeks, he starts to get a few goals to Liverpool and become a really steady performer for us. Keita needs that. The problem is that once we get we get some right back options fit and available, Keita's, I'm not sure what he gets into this team, because at the minute, in terms of playing in actual centre mid, Henderson's much better than him in that position. Fabinho's much better than him, and Gini Wijnaldum, I thought, was the only starting midfielder who actually thought covered himself in any form of glory tonight. It's going to be hard work for Keita. But the Shaqiri thing for me, And I think this ties into the Jordan Henderson stuff. I thought Jordan Henderson performed admirably at right back tonight. I thought he actually started the game fantastically well. Jayden Shaqiri, I think it goes into his performance. He didn't do enough to help Henderson out. He started off quite well, but we asked a lot. We asked probably too much of Shaqiri, I think, tonight in terms of performing far too much, far too box-to-box we needed him to be tonight, and you need him doing the business at the top end of the pitch.
Yeah, and I think the problem with Henderson is essentially he didn't have a Jordan Henderson to help him out, because when we saw the game against Palace a week and a half ago, a lot of the time when James Milner was under a lot of pressure, Jordan Henderson came along and helped him out, and especially given that Joel Matip is on that right-hand side as well, he's a little bit less stable than Virgil van Dijk. I think if van Dijk had been the right centre-back, it probably would have been a little bit better, but because it's obviously the weaker side of our defence, Palace targeted it. I think Leicester tried to target it as well, and he just needed someone. Maybe that someone should have been Wijnaldum tonight to just occasionally come over and make sure that he was never getting caught out.
I can only presume, and it came up on the Twitter comments, that Fabinho just wasn't fit to start this game, because I mean, maybe it was a case we just wanted to give, maybe wanted to give Keita an option, maybe wanted to say, right, no, this is your chance, this is your game here, mate. You know, circumstances have dictated that you're going to start, so go and show me what you can do. But we really missed Fabinho in that midfield, and again in terms of that, the targeting of Jordan Henderson, you could see from the goal kicks, every goal kick was put in that area, but it wasn't put on Jordan Henderson, it was put 10 yards in front of Henderson as a test. Will Henderson come out and try and win it and leave space in behind, or do you put Shaqiri up against them and he's going to lose the header every single time? So the second we brought Fabinho on the pitch, we won 99% of those kind of things, and you can see the difference in class. It's funny, our DM, the balls, the range of passing that he has, that Wijnaldum doesn't quite have that. Henderson has it from there. Shaqiri wasn't playing in terms of our incisiveness, in terms of trying to create chances. Kate is trying to drive through the team to make things happen. No one else was really picking the killer pass. And again, once it took Fabinho to come on, we started to get wide. Henderson played a lot more wide. We looked a bit more dangerous.
Yeah, I mean, I think what you said there about like Keita making driving runs and stuff like that, the problem was any good moments were kind of individual moments. It never really felt like everyone was trying to have a different way of breaking down Leicester. Some people were trying to just make mazy runs. Some people were trying like the chipped balls over the top of the defence and stuff like that. No one really seemed to have a sort of coherent plan. And I think that was the main problem today, but like you said, you know, Shaqiri just kind of struggled a little bit. He never really got a foothold in the game. So
my slight concern over this, and it's only a slight concern because you can only have slight concerns when you're 5 points clear at the top of the Premier League, is I don't think the pressure got to us, because I said it on a number of videos, Liverpool have lost that game. I've been here, I've watched it on telly, I've seen us lose these games when you let the game get away from you and things go against you and the ball ends up in the back of the net. You know, they could have capitalised a bit more on the chances they were given, and we'd be sat here going, Liverpool have lost their heads and blah, blah, blah. So all told, it was fine, but we are a much improved side. We are miles better than any Liverpool side that I've seen in the Premier League era, almost. But we've not won the Premier League before. Yeah. And I think this was a different kind of test. That test of, do you want to go and put this like firmly in your two hands? And I don't know whether that just knocked us a little bit. In combination maybe with the injuries and a few changes around the team, I feel like there was just that little mentality. I feel like next season, if we've got a Premier League under our belt, we win that game because we've been there before.
I think, it's the little seed of doubt thing, and I think we look at that game and think, whenever Man City lose, we think, well, they've been here before because they won the Premier League last season, and they did have a difficult patch as well when they lost back-to-back games and stuff like that, and they came out of that pretty well as well. So we always think that Man City, as soon as they lose a game, are going to recover and then go and win like 10 on the bounce after that, and we worry that Liverpool can't do the same because Liverpool haven't won the Premier League before, like you said.
We're scared of I think we're scared of the social media backlash more than anything else. Yeah. I was chatting to the lads from Toffee TV, and they were just saying, if you slip up or whatever, we're going to fucking destroy you.
Yeah.
Like, we're just going to come in and we're going to rip the fucking piss. And I was like, I don't think I'll be able to, I'm going to struggle to watch football ever again if Liverpool fucking could do something. Like, if it's a tight run thing and, you know, it's close, but if we do something catastrophic, I'm going to struggle to deal with it personally, but the horrendous toxic nature of everything else, I said it in the build-up, it's harder being a fan than a player at the moment.
Yeah. And I think that's why everyone's so desperate to have that cushion, because it basically ensures us against any horrible apparition. Because any other team being 5 points clear at the top of the league at this point, if City were 5 points clear of, you know, anyone else, we'd say they've probably got it boxed off.
They'd all be tucked up in bed now, not even worrying about it, not even talking about it. Man United, all these years they've won it, they'd be in this situation going, great, all according to plan, all going according to plan, because you don't worry about things that might, you know, well, you know, because the plan is to win, but ultimately the plan is to be as many points ahead of the team in second as possible. And according to that plan, we are still fucking flying. And I think you're right, experienced fans are experienced in this, players are experienced in this, all these people, I just would not be arsed, but we are weak-minded fools. And I feel it, it's just a double disappointment, isn't it? Because we don't like seeing Liverpool lose. It was a poor performance, and it's not what we didn't win, it's that intangible thing of, as you say, breathing room. We've cost ourselves breathing room. It means that we're gonna have a little bit more stress on West Ham and on Bournemouth, etc., etc.
Yeah, essentially, it just means until City next drop points and we make the cushion bigger again, everyone's just going to be just upset about it. I mean, if we'd got to 7 points clear, people still would have probably been losing their heads if we stayed at 7 points clear for a while, because you just want it to get bigger and bigger, because you always want it to get better. But, you know, 5 points clear is very, very solid. And I trust this Liverpool side to be fine with that.
Yeah.
Other Liverpool sides of the past, I wouldn't. The 2013-14 side, if they'd been 5 points clear with how many is it to go now? 14 games, I think. Yeah. Then you would have worried that there is definitely a way they can cock that up. And it does seem that Liverpool always have ways of, always find new and crueler ways of throwing it in the bin. That's what I worry about is, you know, we've had the Gerrard slip, we've had the Carrier stuff. What are they going to do next that's going to break our hearts in the most horrible way?
That's the stuff that keeps us awake at night, and it will do until Liverpool deliver a league title. We're going to feel like we've been kicked in the balls and like it's all spiraling out of control at our worst and darkest moments. Not at every given moment, because I'd like to think we'll all walk away from this. We'll all have a good night's sleep or a cup of tea or a bevy or whatever it is you take to relieve your stress. You know, no comment or judgment. We'll look at it tomorrow. I think we'll feel a bit sore, we'll feel a bit aching, we'll get up and we'll look at the league table and we'll go, okay, fine. Yeah. Absolutely fine by that. And it's that thing, you know, Man City are playing ahead of us again, aren't they, at the weekend. And so inevitably they'll close the gap, but the gap will only be two. And that's, you know, we were panicking about a world where they're going to close it and it's going to be one feels very slender. Well, two is twice as substantial as the gap we have whenever they were going to close it in. So, yeah, I think positives in a general sense. What Liverpool have got to do here, Will, is they've got to make this another learning experience. They've got to look at this and go, why did this game not go our way? And they've got to work on it, and they've got to make sure that we don't cock it up. They've got to come back together. They've got to come back stronger, hopefully with an established first choice right back for next Monday, just to make things a bit easier. But yeah, look, Liverpool, we'd have taken being in this situation regardless of the disappointment.
Yeah, and I think, like I said, I trust this Liverpool side to sort themselves out. I don't think we're going to go out against West Ham and have completely lost our heads and look like a shadow of our former selves. I think this Liverpool side will pick itself back up. We'll just train. We'll work out, like you said, what went wrong, and go out and just play their usual game against West Ham. And like I said, because it's a problem with performance, not with tactics, we don't really need to change anything.
Yeah.
We just need to say, okay, just play better.
Yeah.
And we know this Liverpool side can play so much better than that. We haven't really seen a performance like that so far this season, and hopefully we don't again between now and May.
Perfect. Couldn't have said any better. Well, listen, if you've got any thoughts, any topics from the game you want us to discuss, Chris will be hosting the Final Word show on the RedmenTV.com tomorrow. So if you want anything, any interesting points that you feel really need to be discussed in depth and detail, put them in the comments. He'll pick some of them up, put them into the agenda for tomorrow. So you have to get over to the RedmenTV.com, sign up, get your free month trial, see if your comment made it, and watch an otherwise fantastic show. Anyway, also make sure you subscribe to Will, LFC Focus as well, and subscribe to me, Mates TV. I've been Paul Mates, and I will see you very, very soon. Come on, you Reds.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.